The Hall of Famer joins us, Tracy Ringlesby, one of the best writers, I think, around for baseball. Roots Sports with the Colorado Rockies. He's a commentator and, of course, with MLB.com. Trace, it's spring training. We're sitting in the sun. Nice to see you in Scottsdale.
Well, we're just glad the snow melted, you know.
Boy, that's right. This week we really had some snow down here. You know, you've been coming down for spring training a long time. Ever see snow in Phoenix before?
No, we used to get it once in a while in Tucson when the Rockies were training down there, but I hadn't seen it since I started coming to spring training in 76. Tucson's the only place between Florida and Arizona that I've seen it.
Well, Tracy Ringlesby with us, as I say, Hall of Fame baseball writer with Roots Sports, covers the Colorado Rockies on TV, as well as handling some duties for MLB.com. Let's start with the Valley of the Sun down here, and 15 teams down here, so many fans coming down. This Cactus League goes back to 1947. Bill Veeck and Horace Stoneham got together and had their two teams down here. Who ever thought it would become almost a $1 billion industry in Arizona?
Well, when you think about it, when the Cleveland Indians decided to move in 93 to Florida at that time, there was a big bidding war between Florida and Tucson over the Colorado Rockies. And had the Rockies gone to Florida, the basic feeling was it would kill the Cactus League, that it wouldn't survive. Instead, the Rockies went to Tucson, and the Grapefruit League in Florida is the one that's starting to suffer. And all of a sudden, since 93, you've added seven additional teams to this market. Six of them came out of Florida to come to Arizona. The other one, of course, was the Arizona Diamondbacks, came out of expansion. So when you consider that six teams have actually moved from Florida to Arizona in that time period, the Rockies and White Sox and Diamondbacks have moved from Tucson up to the Phoenix area. It's a great place for fans because no matter where you are, you're within an hour of seeing any team you want to see. You know, the farthest distance between two ballparks is an hour. And so, you know, you really get an opportunity to see the teams down here, and you get a chance to kind of nestle in and figure out what you want to do.
Well, for Giant fans listening, of course, on KNBR, listening around the world and around the country to Tracy Ringlesby talk, Colorado Rockies. You know, Giants go into Colorado. They're just hoping the pitching staff comes out okay. The games are always wild, but Walt Weiss formerly managed his Little League team. Now he's the manager of the Rockies. Just bring us up to date on the culture of the Colorado Rockies and how Walt Weiss ended up with that job.
Well, Walt was a very popular player when he was there with his teammates and also with the fans. Has stayed in the Denver area. Even when he went and played for Atlanta, he stayed in the Denver area. Got out of the game because his kids were young. Actually was coaching the Regis High School team to the state tournament last year in baseball with his son playing on the team. And, you know, he had done some special assignment work over the years for Dan O'Dowd. They developed a relationship, and I just think, you know, Walt's very businesslike, very serious about what he's going to do, and they figured, you know, let's at least talk to him. And when he came in for the interview, he was, as Walt is very prepared. As one of my friends, Jack Etkin, once said, you know, the thing about Walt is he might only give you 10 words for an answer, but you can use all 15. You know, he's very much to the point, very much on point, and you know, I just think his organization, the respect he has, wanting to get back some of the old Rocky mentality that they had in the Don Baylor managerial era. They brought in Dante Bichette to be the hitting coach just to try to create some of that. But I think the biggest thing he has going for him is Rene Latchman had been the hitting coach at Colorado Springs the last 5 years. Latch was a chief lieutenant for Tony in Oakland. And Walt's first 6 years as a player, Latch was a third base coach. And then when Walt left Oakland, he went and played for Latch, who was the manager in Florida that year. So they know each other well. And Walt understands it. Rene takes care of a lot of clubhouse situations that the manager doesn't even ever have to find out about. You know, he's got that ability. So I think that'll help him. Tommy Reynolds has been there a while, pretty solid. He's a Colorado guy himself, and so some veteran help in that regard. But, you know, Latch and even third base coach is Stu Cole, who used to be at Colorado Springs as a manager. They're very familiar with the kids in the system. The kids in the system are very familiar with them, so that helps in that transition also.
Boy, great answer, bringing us up to date on the staff on the field for the Colorado Rockies. Walt Weiss, the manager. Rene Latchman, well known to everybody in the Bay Area. I mean, he was the umpire in the inner squad game all the time, and you could hear him anywhere. Or you could, anywhere in the clubhouse, and you're right, he can take care of clubhouse issues.
I mean, you got to remember, this is his 50th consecutive year in uniform working, and it, you know, in his 60s, he spent the last 5 years as a hitting coach at AAA just because he enjoyed being around the game. And, you know, this guy's caught Satchel Paige, so he's got a little bit of history in the game.
Yes, he did. He certainly did. I think it was 1965 in Kansas City, and Yastrzemski was playing for the Red Sox then, and they said, don't bunt on the guy. And he gave up one hit to the Red Sox in those three innings, the last appearance by the great Hall of Famer Satchel Paige. Good knowledge, Tracy. That's very good. Good knowledge for you. Well, you're Hall of Famer. You should know that stuff. All right. The World Baseball Classic down here. We'll see some games March 7th through the 10th. Players will be leaving after next weekend pretty much full scale. Some are already gone to the Asian area for the games there. What's your take on the WBC? Is it getting bigger? More interest? The players more involved with it? What do you expect this time around?
I think internationally it's becoming of more interest. I think it's growing the game a little in other places because there's an international venue to participate. I don't know how big it really is in the United States because you know, get back to the same thing that you know it's a major business here to these guys and they have a huge goal every October. And their focus is really on that. I think it's a much bigger deal in other countries because the idea of trying to come in and beat the Americans becomes such a motivating factor. I think the same thing happened in the Olympics. It's much more of a national pride thing for Cuba or Japan or Korea or Venezuela than it necessarily is for the United States. The American fans, I don't think, have gotten all wrapped up in it. So if the United States doesn't win WBC, it doesn't affect opening day.
Yeah. No, I agree. And the finals, semifinals and finals up in San Francisco this year. And if you look at the brackets, there'll be two good teams in the finals and four good teams in the semifinals. So hopefully the United States will be one of them, create that kind of interest. What about the Rockies? Boy, last year the 75-pitch limit and all the relievers, and you know we hadn't seen that ever. I don't think I have in Major League Baseball. What can we expect from the Rockies this year?
Depends on health. I mean, what everybody overlooks when they went to that 75-pitch limit was they didn't have any starting pitching. You know, they'd had their top three starters were all hurt within a month into the season, if not before. So you didn't have De La Rosa, you didn't have Shashin, you didn't have Nicasio. Jeremy Guthrie was just horrible. I mean, he went to Kansas City, got himself back in line. He was just horrible in Colorado. And that's no knock on him. It's just he'll tell you that. So they're running a bunch of guys out there that weren't ready to be in the big leagues. They were averaging 4 1/3 innings a start. They had an ERA of 6.63 as a starting rotation. And the bullpen was just getting chewed up. So to try to create some way of preserving some arms, the Rockies went to the 75-pitch limit. They created a rotation of middle relievers. They called them, I don't know, you call them whatever you want to call them, but they were basically middle relievers, created a rotation where they were going to throw 50 pitches once every 3 days. The thought process would be that gets you later into the game, and so instead of Jim Tracy going through six different relievers to try to get through the last six innings of a game, he'd have these guys come in and get them through three or four innings. It wasn't really anything more than a survival technique with those young arms, and the funny part of it is their ERA and their win-loss record was better than that. But they only used a guy in 3 days rest 20 times all year. It wasn't like they decided in June to do it and the last 90 games were done on 3 days rest. It only happened 20 times because of the way off days are. The problem with the pitching was they just didn't have good pitching, and they had a lot of young guys that had no business being there that weren't ready for it, particularly for the challenges Coors Field. So you try something just to keep everybody from getting hurt and just to survive through it, and that's all it was designed for.
All right. Well, 2013, it's a new year. The optimism abounds in just about every camp in Major League Baseball. Only one team wins a World Series, and the Giants did it last year, two of the last 3 years, bring a lot of honor, I think, to the National League West, and I think we have a heck of a race again. Will the Rockies be a factor? What do you see, just in very briefly and generally, about the Rockies?
Well, if health's on their side, I think they can be competitive. Uh-huh. You know, when you're competitive, then you don't know what might happen. But, you know, they'll say, well, they didn't do anything for the pitching staff. Well, they did. They've got Nicasio, they've got Shishin, and they've got De La Rosa healthy. That's three additions right there. You know, Tulowitzki played about a third of the season last year. That's your cleanup. If you look at their supposed 3, 4, 5, and 6 hitters, Gonzalez, Tulowitzki, Helton, and Kadire, Gonzalez is the only one that had over half of his, was in the top 10 as far as plate appearances in the position where he was supposed to hit. They had to jumble things so much. And, you know, the last 6 weeks, they didn't have any of those four guys. And they had Will and Rosario hitting cleanup at the end of the season. So, you know, health's always an issue, but none of these guys had what should be debilitating injuries. Helton had a hip surgery. Is he going to be the Helton of 2000? No, but he still can be a very feared hitter. He's a very good first baseman. He's got the sense now to realize that if he plays 120 games, that'll be a lot for him. But he still presents a factor there. And the thing that had happened last year was they got a chance to look at Rutledge. They got a chance to watch the emergence of Dexter Fowler. Colvin got extended playing time. They got comfortable with him. Rosario, he's got to learn how to catch still, but he can hit. You know, I mean, the young man wound up hitting about mid-270s with the fourth most home runs ever for a rookie catcher. So, you know, and he knew that he wasn't a good defensive catcher. And it wasn't his fault. He'd had half a season at AA. I mean, this is a kid that was, if you ask him, when he thought he was going to get to the big leagues, he was hoping he could be there by 2017. And he was up last year. So he had a serious approach when he went back down to Dominican this winter, and he played on the team Tony Peña's the general manager of, and got some help from Tony on catching. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to be a Gold Glove catcher, but, you know, the thing that happens if he does catch, he's got a great arm. Yeah. So, I mean, he can do some things, and he wants to be better. But he's definitely a factor in the lineup with his bat.
Well, we'll see what happens with the Rockies. They come in the after the Cardinal home opener. They are the next in to AT&T Park in April when we get the season underway. Tracy, as we wrap it up with you, Tracy Ringlesby, a pleasure just to have him on. I always never miss a chance to talk to the Cowboy, the Hall of Famer. Who's the favorite in the National League West? And I say that because the Las Vegas odds don't give the Giants a lot of respect. The Dodgers have retooled. You got the Diamondbacks made a lot of moves. Your Rockies, you talk about possibly being competitive. The Padres are always in some rebuilding mode with young pitching, and they're not bad. Who do you think's the favorite in this thing?
You know, you win 2 world championships in 3 years, you're the favorite. Just, you know, it's your game, you know, and I don't think anybody can question what the Giants do or how they do it. And, you know, until somebody comes in and says proves they're better than the Giants, then the Giants are the best team in the division.
All right, well, that's why you play 162, and we'll see. The Giants see the Dodgers next week, and they will see the Dodgers on Wednesday, and they'll see Josh Beckett at that point for the Dodgers. So it's going to be an interesting spring training all around. Tracy, thanks so much as always, and I can't wait to see you when you come in, and we'll see a lot of each other down here at spring training, and, of course, when you come in with the ball club.
Marty, always a pleasure.
All right.
More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.